I have spoken just on special occasions like this to our seniors or those graduating and so forth. But I was looking at this text this morning or through this week and studying it. This can apply to all of us as well. Nancy mentioned a while ago that Winston Churchill said, "Never give up." That was one of his favorite speeches, wasn't it? I mean, everybody was expecting him to deliver a powerful address that day to the graduating seniors. I think that was at Princeton, which was powerful. Never give up, right? Something else he said that's always stayed with me is sometimes it's not enough to do your best. You got to do what's required. So all of you can testify that. Sometimes we try to do our best in our studies, but sometimes we just got to do what's required. Stay up another hour and get ready for that final, finish that paper. So, the same is with our lives when we're serving the Lord. We think we do our best. God did give his best, didn't he? His son, Jesus Christ. And we are to be living servants to him, so we need to do what's required. And in the scripture today, it tells us how we can do that. So if you'll follow along with me, stay attached to the vine. And or we can stay connected to the vine as well. So looking at verse 1, it says, "I am the vine." Who's the vine? Christ. Absolutely. "And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit." How many of you have ever pruned fruit trees? Did it serve a purpose? Did it do what it's supposed to do? It does, doesn't it? And sometimes that's what God has to do with our lives. We prune us back sometimes. Okay, in verse 3. "You're always clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And then he says in verse 4, "Abide in me," or "stay attached," or "stay connected to me." So abide in me and I in you. "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine," which is Christ, "so neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5, again, Jesus says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit." This time, he says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? It just goes back to that abiding. Okay, in verse 8, "My Father is glorified." And you see, it's not us that gets all the praise and the glory and everything that what we do as servants, but we give the Father all the credit. Because he said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Now, thinking about what this scripture says this morning and the intentions of Jesus presenting this to his listeners, I was thinking that sometime it may seem that we are spinning our wheels and going nowhere. How many of you ever feel that way? You're just spinning your wheels and you're not getting anywhere. Well, that goes back to what Nancy said, Winston Churchill, "Don't give up." You spin wheels, you just keep spinning. Or I told Marty Porter one time, you know, we just keep pedaling, right? We keep pedaling along. So that's what we're supposed to do. So we live in an age where we feel we must always be busy and doing something. How many of you think that you need to always be busy and you need to be doing something? Well, we don't need to sit idle, right? Because the Bible says that's the devil's workshop. If we sit idle, not doing anything, you know, Satan, he wants to fill our minds. He wants to occupy our lives if we sit idle. So if we get involved and do things for the Lord, we are to get busy, but we are to do about the Lord's business and so forth. And he'll direct us in all the other areas of our life. So we crave. How many of you crave entertainment? I don't see no hands there, but we like entertainment, right? We like entertainment. And we like action. How many of you like action? When you go to the ball games or when you go to sports or when anything you see that's got action in, movies has action in it, right? You like it. You strive on it, right? It gets your adrenaline. It gets you pumped up. It gets you going. So we crave entertainment, action, and wonder why we're stressed beyond belief, so tired all the time. How many of you are tired all the time? All the time you're tired. Nancy, boy, you couldn't got that hand much higher. But we do. Yeah, we're tired most of the time. And sometimes maybe you're not taking your vitamins. Maybe you're not getting enough rest, right? But it all boils down, we get so stressed out that it wears us out. It nerves us up. And we don't sleep good. Well, we need to turn that over to the Lord. He'll help us sleep. You know, somebody told me the other day, if you want a good night's rest, if you have trouble going to sleep, just eat your handful of grapes. Who told me that? Anybody in here? Huh? Okay, she did. So if you have a hard time going to sleep at night, get your handful of grapes, eat them. In 5 minutes, you go to bed, you're asleep. Pretty simple is that, okay? I haven't tried that yet, but you know, I have eaten a handful of grapes while I went to bed, and I don't remember anything after that, so it must work. it must work, and I didn't even know it at the time, okay? Thank you, Ruth. Well, you know, Psalms 46. I read this Psalms quite often. Whether I'm depressed or not. Usually I'm not depressed, am I, Brenda? Usually she's having to tell me to be quiet. So, but I stay pretty positive most of the time. But I like to read this to get my mind thinking where I need to be at all times. Sometimes I do need to be quiet, right, Brenda? I need to listen and so forth. And this verse right here says, Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know I am God." Now that's a good scripture, isn't it? Be still. And this is one translation out of this KJV. And know that I am God. We need to learn to be still. I need to practice that myself. So, be still is literally means take your hands off. Take your hands off. Whatever it is, you just take your hands off. Be still. And then the other literal translation to this is just relax. You see, that's the key to stress, right? It's just to relax or take a deep breath. Brenda tells me to do that sometimes. Just take a deep breath. So, we like to be hands-on people and manage our own lives. How many of you like to manage your own lives? Well, I do see some hands there. Does it work? Not always does it. It may temporarily, but we need to let God manage our lives. See, but God is God, and we are his servants, according to this scripture here. See, God allows us to get into tight places. Have any of you been in tight places before? Get claustrophobia and things like that? Well, that claustrophobia is called, stress can cause that. in our lives. So our faith will grow and he will be exalted if we allow him. Now, here you've heard 9:11, right? Here is a verse called 4:11. 1 Thessalonians, it's 4:11. And it says, and that ye study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. Now, what in the world does that mean, study to be quiet? When you analyze that or look at that, the interpretation of that, Paul was looking at a group of people, Thessalonians, was unsteady, uneasy in their spiritual growth. And they were so busy waiting and thinking that the Lord's were going to be coming back at any time, they just sold all their possessions and they just started sitting back doing nothing and actually ended up living off of other Christians and depending upon their livelihood by them. And Paul is saying here that they should study to be quiet. Literally means to be ambitious to be quiet. Quiet. You know, we can be quiet, but we can still be ambitious in our waiting for God to work. That is, do not fret, don't worry, involve yourself in the world's activities. So we need to involve our things into things of God. So Paul is saying, walk in honesty with our lives, in our thinking, with our heart, with our mind, with our soul. Walk in honesty. Now, on Sunday morning, which is now, right? It will be till noon. Morning is always from when you get up to noon, all right? And so our purpose is to learn to be quiet, right? Or learn to be still or quiet and listen so that we as a family, as we worship together, we worship in spirit. John 4:24 says that when we worship God, we worship him in truth and in spirit. You know, John chapter 4, and now we're in chapter 15. But I want you to hold on to that thought for a moment because we'll be looking in that area. Now, what we do when our life seems to be on hold in some areas, we hold on, right? We just hold on. We're waiting to see something to take place in our lives. And the scripture said, as you're holding on, just abide. Stay connected. Stay attached to me. You and I have to be, well, actually, we don't have to have a Tarzan to hold on to the vine, do we? That's what he did, swinging on vines and so forth. We don't have to be that way. But the Lord, in this passage here, in this scripture, gives us four facts Jesus used to keep our relationship with him secure. How many of you like to be secure in whatever you're doing in life? We like to be secure. Well, we can definitely be secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one way is by the vine. Selfish saints are shelved. What did it say in verse 2? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, what is that taken away? Well, misused talents may be lost. How many of you wish you could have done something in your life, you didn't do it, and now that you want to do it, you can't do it? Right? Have you ever thought about that? I heard somebody talk to me just this past week, said, I wished I could play a piano. I said, did you ever try? No. What, do you want to now? Well, I don't think I could now. Well, that might be possible. That might be a good reason not to try it. But there's never, you know, a time in your life that you can't learn new things, right? You might not be the best at it at this point in time in your life, but at least give it a good try. You know, don't quit. Don't quit. And the life of the branch comes from the vine, verse 4. Let's look at that verse again. Abide in me. Jesus says that several times in this scripture. And I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. So the life of the branch comes from the vine. And then also in verse 4 is saying that without the vine, the branch is just a what? Dead stick. How many of you have been cleaning up sticks from all the storms? Are they healthy sticks? No, most of them has been dead. Some of them have probably been hanging in the tree for quite a while. The wind comes through and blows them down. Brenda told me yesterday, if you don't get up there and get that branch down, it's going to fall on my head while I'm mowing. Or don't mow there, you know. Just go around that area. Make a nice flower garden there. But that happens, you know, when a branch dries up, it dies, right? And it's no good. And what do we do with dead branches? Well, according to here, they throw them in the fire. Now, that doesn't mean Hades or hell. That means you're not much use for the Lord's service as servants. And God doesn't, he hasn't brought us into this world. He hadn't enhanced us with so many talents and gifts that we are just let them dry up and not be useful for him. Every one of us here today has a gift of some sort. It is our responsibility to find out. This says abide in me. Now, if we don't abide in the Lord, as Christians, we'll never find out exactly how well we can use our gift, our talents, because it says, abide in me, stay attached, stay connected. So if we're disconnected, we're not going to be able to understand what fruit really means in our life. And when the Lord is talking about fruit, what kind of fruit is he talking about? Apples, oranges, bananas. Spiritual fruit. That is what he's looking for in our lives. And in order for us to bear spiritual fruit, we got to stay attached to the vine. And according to verse 5, the vine will give the results, not the branches. The vine gives results, not the branches. Because, you know, we're instruments. We are attached to the vine. And the vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as long as we are attached, we're being fed, getting nourishment, spiritual nourishment, which will give us spiritual growth in our life. And one of the ways that we can find out more about that in our life is to stay in the Word. Have a devotion time or read the Bible and study the Word of God that gives us the understanding how God works through his Spirit. The vine is a very important part of our lives as servants, and we are the branches. Now, also, in verse 4, going back to verse 4, I skipped to verse 5, but in verse 4 it says, when the branch is abiding, there will be fruit. Now, Brenda and I, we planted a bunch of fruit trees and grapevines and raspberries and all of that stuff. And, you know, most of the time it does good until the animals gets into it. But they're there. It's good fruit. And even the animals understand, oh, that's good fruit. Let's go for it. And they do. Well, when we bear good fruit, people around us is going to see it, and they'll come to us and say, hey, I would like some of that fruit. Where do you get it? And we say, well, in John chapter 15, it says if we stay attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll bear fruit. And then it says the more we stay attached, the more we stay connected, we'll bear more fruit. And then it gets down into verse 8, and it says, and the more we walk with the Lord and the more we stay connected to him and seek his will and guidance in our life, then we get how much fruit? Much. Abundance. So there's no limitation how much fruit we can bear spiritually if we stay attached and do our part in serving the Lord. So in verse 2, going back to verse 2, as a branch continues to abide, there would be more fruit. And then in verse 5, then as a fruit branch faithfully abides. Okay, see, hear that word, faithfully? We must always be faithful to the Lord. And there would be much fruit. And then in verse 8, and see, who gets all the credit for all of that? Who gets the credit? Do we? Oh, look at all the spirits of fruit I'm producing or bearing. No. In verse 8, the glory for the fruit is given to the vine. That's Jesus Christ. And the husband, who's the husband? The vine dresser, husbandman. That's the Father. And it's not the branch that gets the glorification. It's the vine and Jesus. Orchard experts sometime do something that I would never have thought of for a fruit tree to bear more fruit. See, sometimes fruit trees will, their energy goes towards the wood and the leaves. And when a fruit tree, when all the energy that it's mustering up from the earth or from the sky, the rain and so forth, all that energy goes into the wood part, that's growing, and the leaves that comes out. And when that happens, there's hardly any fruit. So experts have learned over the years, if they will wound that tree, you know how they do it? They take an axe, and I guess this is somewhat what called pruning, doing something to get its attention. So it takes that axe, they'll take that axe, and down towards the base of the tree, they will take it and strike it and make an indention into the wood, down towards the earth. And the next year, they have an abundance of fruit. Now, you figure that one out. Tells me that that tree says, he got my attention. I'm focusing too much on myself rather than what I'm supposed to be doing is bearing fruit. So we don't want to be a selfish branch, do we? We want to be a productive, bearing much fruit. So the branch produces what the life coursing through its limbs is in power, which is the fruit of the vine. And Christ is the fruit of the vine. Now, talking about the axe, sometimes God uses a trial as an axe in our life of suffering as pruning, as a pruning knife, so that we may stop channeling all of our energies into the pursuit of temporal things. And see, when we seek temporal things in life, see, we're not focusing on the vine. We're not focusing on staying attached to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. See, sorrow, tribulation, ill health, and disappointment have a way of stimulating spiritual growth and fruitfulness in our life. So our attention is then redirected towards eternal things, and we produce the fruit of righteousness that glorify his name. That's the whole reason for us of doing that. And then, now, the Bible not only talks about the branches, but let's go back to the branches. That's where we want to look at, that vine. Now we're looking at the branches, okay? Jesus Christ is the vine. Now let's look at the branches. Who are the branches? We are. We are the branches. The branch, actually, when you think about it, a branch is nothing, right? It's actually nothing. It wasn't for the vine, the branches wouldn't even exist. The vine is something in verse 4. Look at verse 4 again. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear of itself unless it abides in the vine. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So neither can you unless you abide in me. So the branch does not try to produce, but only abides. You see, the branch doesn't try to produce. And see, we can't do any, it says we can't do anything. We might try, we may hope so. But the scripture says only abides. So if we abide, that's making that connection. And that's how God flows through our lives. And that's when things happen. See, it's not the talent or the ability of the branch that produces. See, each branch is responsible for fruit. So we are responsible according to verse 2. And then the branch that does not bear fruit, it is burned in verse 6. Now, that means that the burning is a symbol of no use. There's no purpose for a branch to not bear fruit. Therefore, it's cast aside and no use at all. And not being cast into Hades or hell, it's just no use because we're not fulfilling our purpose for the Lord. Now, the important part to this, according to the scripture, while I'm reading in this, is that abiding. Abiding. Abide means to join together without the thought of separating. You come together, say, I'm committed to you, Lord. I never want to be separated. And a good illustration of that is when Jesus Christ was on the cross. And what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? Jesus saying, I do not want to be separated from you for one second. If we would think that in our spiritual mind, in our physical body, that we never want to be separated from the vine, which is Jesus Christ, we'll never be separated from his love. If there's any separation, it's our doing. See, the Lord is always there. He is always at our presence. He's always at our calling on his holy name. So the abiding is so important in our life. It's just like a relationship. You don't want to be separated from that relationship, that bond that you have with one another, because that bond and that love was united by the love of Christ in your life. So it should be permanent. And when God commits himself to us through salvation, it is permanent. It's not something, okay, you've done wrong, you've sinned, so no longer are you going to be abiding in me. It's the Lord saying, you keep abiding in me, and I will do wonders and miracles in your life. And you see, it's we can't do it. And then when we give up, it's going back to what Winston Churchill said, don't give up. Never give up. If he'd gave up, he wouldn't have been the prime minister that he was in his time and accomplished what he accomplished. It seems like those that were always depressed, those that had a lot of mental things going on in their mind, made some of the greatest leaders in the nations, weren't they? You go look at Abraham Lincoln. He was always depressed. Well, no wonder. Some of these trying to look at our leaders today, they should be depressed because of all the things that's, you know, going against them, the protests and things like that. But if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, who can be against you if I'm for you? It doesn't matter who's against you. If the Lord's always for you, it doesn't matter. And that's that abiding. You never forget about the abiding. Never forget that. See, the vine and the branch need each other to produce fruit. That's what verse 4 is saying. And who is the sap? The sap. Let's talk about the sap. What's the sap that runs through the vine? That's what gives the energy, the growth. That's what keeps the branch alive. You cut off the sap in a fruit tree, and what happens to the branch? It dies. And when I'm saying sap, in the indication of this scripture this morning, the sap that runs through the vine is the Holy Spirit. You want to keep the Holy Spirit real and alive in your life. So sap is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And to abide is to hang on and stay connected. Jumping over to verse 16, fruit that remains is ideal. Ideal. When does fruit usually fall off the tree? Yeah, when it gets ripe. Or when you shake it off, right? Shake the tree. Do we ever get really ripe that we just fall off the tree and then that's it for us? No. We keep abiding. See, that's the difference between a physical fruit tree than the branch and the fruit that we bear. We just keep abiding, and more we'll abide, we get fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's very important for us as Christians to understand. Fruit that remains is ideal in verse 16. And then we go, let's do the pruning, and I'm almost here. Now, that's the part that really hurts, doesn't it? We don't like to be pruned, do we? I don't like to be pruned, but sometimes we need it to get our attention. You know, pruning gets back into the quick where it hurts, right? And like the fruit tree that had a wound that down towards the root of the tree to get its attention. So the pruning means to chasten or correct the dead parts of the branch, verses 2 and 3. And the pruning always means to prune or cut back. Now, here's the question this morning. As you're looking at your life at this point, are you attached? Now, you might say, well, yeah, I'm attached. I'm connected. But how attached? It's that continuing of being connected that what the scripture is talking about. See, many people try to be good, honest, who do what to do, and you know, that's right. But Jesus says that the only way to live a truly good life is to stay close to him like a branch attached to the vine. So, apart from Christ, the scripture says, our efforts are unfruitful. So, are we receiving the nourishment and life offered by Christ, the vine? If not, we're missing the key to the life of a Christian. And the question is, are you receiving the nourishment and life offered by Christ, who is the vine? Now, as we think of all this stuff that's been said this morning, you know, the vine, the branch, the abiding, and the pruning. The key, I think, as we look at it, is the abiding. Stay attached. Continually nurturing yourself in the Word of God through prayer, seeking God's will with all your heart, soul, and mind. If we can get all those things, that's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of the other things in your life will flow right up to you. It's yours. And the scripture says, it's yours for the asking. Whatever you ask, I will do it. But it all comes back to that abiding. Abiding. I want you to think about that today. Every time you think about something, think about abiding. Abiding in Christ. Staying attached. Staying connected. And he will bless your life tremendously if we remember that. And then the fruit that you bear in your life, people will come up to you and say, I want some of that fruit. It looks so delicious. And you say, well, I got it from the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus Christ. He's got more than we can think of. He's got more and more. And he wants more of us. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the scripture that gives us practical things for living and living the Christian life, abiding in you so that we can be spiritually fit for whatever challenge comes our way. And Lord, there are many, many challenges that the world throws out to us. We need to be able to divide and understand what your word, how it aligns with our life as Christians to what the world is. We need to abide in you so that we can bear fruit. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you personally as Lord and Savior, Lord, your invitation is open for salvation this morning. Anyone here this morning, look at our church home, Lord, we just pray that your will be done. Lord, you won't lead us in the wrong direction. You always lead us in your direction. And it's always timely at the right time. There's many decisions that we need to make in this life and even today. Lord, it would please you if we make everything right with you before we leave here this morning. So that when we go out into the world will say, there's something different about that person. And it's that abiding that really counts, that makes the difference. Lord, we praise and we thank you for what you're going to do in this invitation. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 373.